book of Proverbs. If you remember, we began this journey a while ago looking into the wisdom of God and how that wisdom allows us to live active spiritual lives. A little bit different than just sitting in a pew on a Sunday. A little bit different than just talking about it, but we're taking the challenge to look at God's wisdom through the book of Proverbs. And in that, learn how to live and live life in abundance. And so again, we continue that journey this morning. I shared this with my leadership this morning. And I truly believe in my heart that what we're going to talk about this morning is probably one of the most difficult things for most of us. And of course, my leadership had some ideas of what that topic might be. One of them being tithing, but it's not about tithing, all right? It's about forgiveness. Being people who are able to forgive. Now you say, wow, this is easy. No, it's really not. If we're really honest with ourselves, it's challenging. And there's three passages this morning I just want to read briefly as we move into this. The first one is from Proverbs chapter 17, verse 5, where it says, "He or she who mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker. Whoever gloats over disaster will not go unpunished." People who mock the poor. People who say, ha, 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 they deserve that, didn't they? That's what we're talking about. Or later on, from chapter 24, verse 17 through 20. "Do not gloat when your enemy falls. When he stumbles, don't let your heart rejoice. Or the Lord will see and disapprove and turn his wrath away from him. Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of the wicked. For the evil man has no future hope and the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out." Again, this idea that we're not people. We should be above the ha, 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 ha. They got what they deserved. Because that's God's job. Or finally, from chapter 25, verses 21 and 22, "If your enemy is hungry," be clear, "if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If your enemy is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you." This is the word of God. If we focus on just that word, forgiveness, sometimes I think we can kind of chuck it into a category. You can kind of turn your ears off right now and say, like I said earlier, I'm okay with this forgiveness thing, but it's really a mindset. You've heard that. It's the way that we look at the poor. It's the way that we look at our enemies. It's the way that we look at the world around us. It's bitterness. It's that enviness. It's that whole idea of just looking at being number one rather than number two and willing to sacrifice the lives and relationships of others because we need to get even, because we need to get on top, because we value the idea of being in control and possibly giving out some revenge. And somebody put it very clearly, and I like this. Bitterness, that unforgiving spirit, bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. That's really what we're talking about. That spirit where we're putting this poisonous attitude of, I'll get you, I'll get even, boy, I hope you crash and burn, inside of our bodies. And then spend our lives looking and hoping that that other person dies. When in essence, the poison is destroying us. Are we people who are filled with what some call the cancer of revenge? Are we people who are bitter, who are explosive, who, again, hurt bystanders in this quest to get even, get on top? Are we those volcanoes that erupt because we're sick and tired of getting treated like dirt? I'll get even. Is that the poison that's within each of us? Or are we people who can forgive? People who can forgive and in that forgiveness find some joy. People who can, again, forgive and find that peace. People who can be inclusive. People who can be welcoming. People who can allow God to live out God's plan on this earth. And let all that other stuff be figured out by God. You see, we have a choice. And again, this idea of active spirituality, active, we have the choice. And today is a day to say, are we forgiving? Or are we filled with the poison of revenge and bitterness in our lives? I mean, look, it's pretty clear. Forgiveness, joy, peace, a smile on your face, or a life that's filled with that thought of, I'll get you, I'll get even, I'll get one up on them, bitterness and anxiety, because it's up to us to get the revenge. It's up to us to make sure that the board is balanced correctly, and we fill our lives with anxiety. We can replace revenge with forgiveness. We can, if we are actively seeking it in our lives, if we are willing to live out what the book of Proverbs said, and we better do it sooner than later. Wisdom to forgive. Wisdom of a long life. We need to be people who can forgive. How do you know? How do you know if you're somebody who struggles with this? Again, our human nature would say, oh, it's not my problem. I forgive people all the time. We teach our kids. What do we teach our kids? Oh, say you're sorry. Say you're sorry. But what I'm talking about again is a spirit in which we truly hope for the calamity of another person. We truly hope for the calamity of another person. Boy, that guy was such a jerk to me. I hope his business fails. Oh, that kid is the biggest jerk at school. I hope he gets suspended. I hope he gets booted out. Oh, that idiot just cut me off. I hope he ends up in the median strip up against the wall. Have you been there? That spirit of, again, wanting that calamity for someone else? I read a great little story about a gentleman who was walking through the park. As he walked through the park, he saw a boy sitting on a park bench. And the boy was obviously kind of in distress. He had a frown on his face. He was kind of biting his lip. It looked like he was really hurting. And the gentleman walked up and he said, "Son," he said, "are you okay?" And the little boy, he looked at him and he said, "I got stung by a bee." He goes, "Oh, you got stung by a bee." He goes, "Where?" He goes, "Right in my butt," he says, "right in my butt." And he was sitting on a park bench, and the man looked at him and he said, "Well, is the bee still there?" He goes, "Yeah, he's still stinging me." He's like, and the man says, "Get up, get up." And he goes, "No," he says, "I'm not going to get up. I figure I'm giving him more pain than he's giving me right now." Is that the way we are? That we live our lives with the acid of resentment eating away at our inner being. Where we would rather sit on that bee and take that pain because just maybe we're giving him more pain than they're giving us. We've got to be people who can forgive. And it's key. Because it says clearly here in Proverbs that if we can't let go of this, number one, it won't go unpunished. Figure that out. If we are unable to forgive others, we ourselves are going to be punished. If we are unable to forgive others, we ourselves are going to be punished. Simply put, again, we're putting poison into our bodies. And the more that poison we put in, the more that we hurt ourselves. And that alone is punishment. But it says clearly that God wants us to forgive. And if we can't, then he's going to struggle with he and I and our relationship. It also says that it gets in the way of God's plan. God's plan to deal with the situation. It's not up to us to get vengeance. It's not up to us to get equal. It's not up to us to figure out some of life's challenges. It's God's work. But when we sit and we stew and when we hope for calamity and when we lose sight of joy and we lose sight of peace and when we become people who can't forgive, then we begin to die. So we must release ourselves. We must become open to who we are, and we must work at this idea of becoming people who can forgive rather than sit on that bee hoping that we're hurting them more than they're hurting us. But what's crazy about this passage, not only does God challenge us to actively forgive, but he takes it a step further. Takes it a step further and says, not only forgive them, but be kind to them. You got to be kidding me. You're telling me that not only do I need to forgive my enemy, but if they're hungry, feed them. And if they're thirsty, give them something to drink. That's just a bunch of junk. There is no way that I can live my life helping those people who I so desperately want in that median strip on the highway. Yet that's exactly what God asks us to do. What, again, Jesus shows us how to do. Do something profitable. Give them food. Give them drink. Heap coals upon their head. You ever wonder what that means? You read that passage and it doesn't sound real nice to you and me, does it? Heap burning coals upon their head. Understand that within the culture that was written at the time, life revolved around fire. Houses were kept warm with fire. Meals were cooked with fire. So the idea of having a fire, whether it be cooking or heating, was always important. And sometimes people didn't have it. They didn't have the fire started. They didn't have the things to make the fire, whatever it was. And so when they didn't, they would take and place, if you can imagine, a vessel, a bucket, shall we say, on their head. And they would walk throughout their town. And people who had coals, burning hot coals, would take and give them and put them in their bucket on their head so that they could take them home to make a fire, to warm their house, and to eat their food. You see, they were heaping coals upon their head so their life might be better. And Jesus takes it that next step. God takes it that next step by showing us not only forgiveness, but spontaneous, kind acts for other people. So we've gone from, boy, I hope they're in the median, I hope they don't make it, to, boy, if you need a drink of water or food, or if you need some hot coals to warm your house, I'm there for you. Really? Really, Lord? That's what you want from us? I'd rather drink the poison. I'd rather sit on the bee. I would rather live that way than forgive and share with my enemies? It's interesting that this idea of heaping coals is mentioned twice in Scripture. It's mentioned once here in Proverbs, and it's mentioned again by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. And the interesting thing is, in both cases, it had to deal with kindness to enemies. And in Romans, it takes it a step further, and it's important for us to hear that in Romans it says, how do you overcome evil? You overcome evil with good. And so again, in the New Testament, ties together this spiritual choice, this active spirituality of choosing to do good rather than evil, of choosing to forgive rather than hate. Revenge, resentment, bitterness, they all siphon joy and peace and love out of our bodies, out of who we are, and we become prisoners of the pain and anguish of trying to be judge and jury in our world today. And so again, it's that choice. Do you want to be bitter? Do you want to be vengeful? Or do you want to be set free? Set free to forgive. Set free to have joy. Set free to have peace. It's a choice that we have. It's an action we must take. I read another story. It was a story about a family that lived out in the country, and they had a whole bunch of chickens, whole big old farmyard full of chickens, and one day the boy's out there playing, and he killed one of the chickens. And he thought to myself, oh man, I'm in big trouble. I killed one of the chickens. He kind of looked around and he thought, nobody's looking. And so he dug a hole. He buried the chicken and he thought, my parents will never notice one less chicken. We've got so many of them, they will never, ever know. Great plan. The only problem was that his sister was watching from the window. And when he came inside, his sister looked at him and said, I saw what you did. Now, did she forgive? No. She said, guess what? You're going to be doing the dishes until I tell you. You don't have to do them anymore. And sure enough, for weeks, he sat there and said, oh, Mom, Dad, I'll do the dishes. I love doing the dishes. And he played along. He did what he had to do until he had had enough. And one day he looked at his sister and he said, I'm done. No more. I'm not doing the dishes. And she said, yeah, well, I'm going right to Mom and I'm telling her what you did. And he looked at her and said, well, I already did. And I told Mom. And she forgave me. And I'm free again. I'm free. We need to practice forgiveness. We need to practice spontaneous gifts so that we might be free and experience that love of Christ on a daily basis. So this morning, the choice is ours. I don't know where you're at. I know that I have issues. I know that there have been times where I thought, boy, oh boy, it'd be nice if they were in the rail. Boy, it'd be nice if somebody took him out of the game. Boy, it'd be great if I never had to deal with them again. And what I realize is it's a poison in my body. The choice is ours. Forgiveness, joy, peace, love, encouragement, or bitterness and hate and anger and resentment. The choice is ours. Active spirituality. Which will it be? Amen.